Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 26, the Word of God says this. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and we're just so grateful as we've sung about the birth of Jesus this morning, Lord. We're so grateful that you sent your son, Jesus, to be born as a baby, Lord, to be born from a virgin, to live a perfect, sinless life, to die a sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary, all so we can have salvation, Lord. All so we can have the joy that comes from Christ, Lord. God, this morning, we are so, so grateful for Jesus. God, this morning as we come to your word and come to the preaching of your word, God, I pray that you will just clear our minds from all distractions and help us to focus on your word and your word alone this morning. God, I pray that you help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Over the last few weeks, as we've made our way through chapter 2, Paul has used several illustrations to kind of illustrate how people are to live, how Timothy is to live before the Lord and before the world. He started chapter 2 by talking about how we are to be good soldiers of Jesus, how we are to be like an athlete, how we are to be like a farmer, a hardworking farmer. And then last week, he used the illustration of an approved worker, someone who works at a job and does an approving job. And this week, Paul continues these illustrations to teach young Timothy how to live, to teach us how to live. And so today, we're going to be looking at two illustrations of how we are to live as God's people. The first illustration, as we've already read, is that of a household vessel, household items. The second illustration is that of a servant. And so again, the first illustration is that of a vessel. And so the first one we see here is holy vessels. Holy vessels are useful and ready for every good work. Holy vessels are useful and ready for every good work. In verses 20 through 23, Paul uses this illustration I've already said of household items, of vessels, to demonstrate how Timothy is to live. Creates this word picture. In verse 20, Paul says, "Now in a great house." Let me go to verse 20 here. "Now in a great house." The idea is that this is a big house. This is likely a wealthy person's house, as some translations may say. The idea is there's many different items, many different vessels that serve a purpose in this house. He continues and says, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. The vessels that are honorable are the gold and silver vessels. The vessels that are dishonorable are the wood and clay vessels. Now, you need to understand something. All these vessels serve a purpose, right? They're all there for something. To give you kind of an example, honorable vessels would have been like the fine china, right? You would get that fine china out. You would get those gold and silver vessels out for special occasions or for special guests. You would bring them out. The dishonorable vessels would be like the paper plates and the plastic utensils that we use of today, right? Things that are not very shiny, per se, if that makes sense. They're not the best. They're kind of a common, normal thing. Dishonorable vessels would have also been things that would have carried waste away. Human waste, trash. The dog bowl would even be considered like a dishonorable vessel, right? Now, these vessels are an illustration of two types of people, right? We often think of this as maybe this is maybe just an illustration of how we should be honorable vessels. And while it is, but the idea is these illustrations, these vessels, they identify as something. They represent something. What are they representing? And they are representing two types of people. Chapter 2 has been all about teachers. Teachers are to entrust faithful men to teach others. Teachers are to remember Jesus Christ, which we will suffer for. Teachers are to endure everything for the sake of the elect. Teachers are to cut straight the word of truth we talked about last week. Teachers are to avoid irreverent babble like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are false teachers. The two types of vessels here, the two types of vessels represents true teachers and false teachers, truth speakers and false speakers. False teachers are dishonorable. They don't bring honor to God. Their words are trash and full of waste. They bring destruction and death to people. They are people like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Truth teachers are honorable. They bring honor to the Lord with their words and what they say. By teaching the truth, their words are valuable like gold and silver, right? They bring honor to God by living with godly character. Paul goes on, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. To be an honorable vessel, hear me when I say this, to be an honorable vessel is to be cleansed from that which is dishonorable. To be cleansed. If Timothy is to be an honorable vessel, he must cleanse himself of dishonorable things. Now we must ask a couple of questions here. What is it that anyone must be cleansed of? The answer, that which is dishonorable, right? But now we ask, what is dishonorable? What is considered dishonorable about this? The answer is simply false teaching, unholy living. Those are the dishonorable things that Paul is speaking of right here. That which is dishonorable is bad doctrine, bad theology, bad teaching, and wicked and unrighteous living. To be an honorable vessel, we must cleanse ourselves from all impurities. We must get the scrub daddy. We must grab the sponge. We must get the dish soap and begin scrubbing away false doctrines that live in our minds, that we believe. We must wash away the filthy sins of our hearts. And it will only then be that we are set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Purity, holiness is essential to be of service for the Lord. Church, this passage has a primary audience of people like Timothy. We must not forget that. It's a primary audience of people like Timothy, those that teach, those that pastor, those that shepherd over churches, people like myself. These people, pastors, are to be honorable vessels before the Lord. But the reality is this, every single one of us here, every single one of us, the Lord has called all of us who believe in Him to be His vessels, to be a vessel for Him, to be of His service. He's called all of us to be holy, right? 1 Peter teaches that we should be holy as God is holy, to be cleansed of dishonorable things, to be cleansed from those false teachings and false doctrines, to live a righteous and pure life. All of us should be doing those things. Church, false doctrines, false teachings, they're often disguised. You need to know that. They are camouflaged, you could say. They are masked with enough truth to make you go, eh, you're not entirely wrong, so I can get on board with that, right? You know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen it. You've probably heard things like that. But a lot of false doctrines and false teachers are going to sound good, right? It's going to sound good. My pastor in Kansas City, he used to say this, bad theology often begins with good intentions. Right? You hear it? You understand it? Bad theology often begins with good intentions. The prosperity gospel, for example, has the good intention that believers will be prosperous and wealthy and healthy. Right? Great intentions. Well intended. Sounds good. Sounds true. But it is false. Right? How many of you have been Christians for years on years and have not acquired a massive amount of wealth, had the greatest health, and are still suffering and for all sorts of things for the gospel of Jesus, right? Every single one of us here, we would say amen to that, right? Yeah. Some teach universalism. Universalism is a doctrine that teaches that because God is so loving and merciful, all people, every single person will eventually get to heaven. They're going to go to heaven, right? God's love and mercy far outweighs His judgment. They're not going to have it. God's just going to let them all in. Sounds great, doesn't it? Well intended, right? But it is false. The Bible clearly teaches that unless you believe in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, you will face the judgment of God and spend eternity in hell. There's a survey that went out earlier this year. It's called the State of Theology. And what they did in the survey is they surveyed Americans with the goal of trying to understand how much theology Americans know and what they believe. Lifeway was a part of this kind of a survey that they put out. And in this survey, you're able to mark if you are an evangelical Christian or not. In case you don't know what an evangelical Christian is it is those that believe the Bible as their highest authority. It is those that evangelize Jesus. They tell of Jesus. They proclaim Jesus. But they also believe that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only way to remove sins, right? To remove the penalty of sin. And lastly, they believe only those who trust in Jesus receive salvation. Okay? In case you don't know, we as a church would be considered evangelical Christians. All right? We believe all those things. We are that. One of the questions that these evangelical Christians were asked is this. This blows my mind. Do you agree or disagree that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam? Right? 47% said they agreed. 47% said they agree that God accepts the worship of all religions. 45% said they disagree. More people said they agree than they disagree. You see the issue here? You see the problem? I hope you do. Right? This is wrong. 47% of evangelical Christians are believing a false doctrine. 47% of evangelical Christians are believing that God accepts the worship of all religions. This is atrocious. God only accepts the worship of His people. Christians, believers, of those that truly believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life. That's the worship He believes in. That's the worship He accepts. The point in me saying this and telling you about this survey is this. False doctrines slowly, very slowly creep in, right? False teachings slowly make their way in. And when they make their way in, they're going to take root. And church, if we don't purge those false doctrines, if we don't go out and cleanse those out of our lives, we will begin believing things like all people go to heaven, like God accepts the worship of all people, right? Of all religions. We will begin believing those things. We will be dishonorable vessels if we have those things in our hearts and minds, if we believe those things. And so my encouragement to you today is this. Think deeply about what you believe. What someone says, what I say even, okay? Take it to this book right here and say, does this book say that? Does this book say this? Because this is my highest authority. This is what I believe. Not what someone on Facebook says. Not what someone on YouTube says. Not what some other person on a podcast says. But what God's Word says. Question deeply about what you believe. Compare it side by side to God's Word. And as you do that, these false doctrines, these false teachings that have gotten into your mind in so many different ways will be purged. And you will be a useful vessel for the Lord, ready for every good work. But it's not just the false doctrines, is it? It's also the sin. Paul says in verse 22, flee youthful passions. We often think of the word passions as lust, and that would not be wrong. That is certainly included here. But lust isn't all. Youthful passions can include greed and pride and selfish ambition. Sin. That's what Paul's saying here. Flee sin. Flee sin. And you don't have to be just a youth. It says youthful passions here. You don't have to be a youth to struggle with sin, do you? Right? No. Paul says to flee. The word literally means to take flight as a bird and get away, to fly away from sin. We should flee from sin like Joseph fled Potiphar's wife. Run away, Paul says, from sin. And then he says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. Church, we are to run away from sin and run to righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace. We're to pursue it. We're to chase after it. We're to run after it. We are to long for righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace in our lives. But church, we are not to do this alone. We're not to do this by ourselves. We're not to do this as individuals. Look at the last part of verse 22. Along with those who call on the Lord. Along with, we are to pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace together with one another. We're to do it with each other. We are all in this together. How much easier is it to pursue those things when you have brothers and sisters in Christ pursuing them with you? Running after them with you, encouraging you, exhorting you, calling you out on your sin, calling each other out on sin, pointing you to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in Him, reminding you that Jesus gave His life for you, and because of Jesus, we live in these ways. What a blessing it is to have a church. What a blessing it is to have one another to be able to do these things with. May we have conversations with each other. May we go out for lunch with one another. May we get involved in each other's life. May we be around each other enough that we can pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with each other. We need each other. We need each other to help scrub the filth off, right? When I was growing up as a kid, I needed my mom to tell me, hey, son, you need to scrub that spot behind your ears, right? Because I couldn't see it. Even looking in the mirror, you couldn't see it, right? You need people to tell you that you got some filth in your life and you need to scrub it out. Scrub the sin out. And when we do this, we are washing away the filth of sin from our hearts, becoming holy vessels before the Lord, useful and ready for every good work. And church, when we are holy, when we are useful, and when we are ready, we can be the Lord's servant. And so this moves us on to our next illustration. I think I went too far. So the second illustration is humble, or the Lord's servants are humble servants. The Lord's servants are humble servants. Paul uses this second illustration of a servant. And he begins in verse 24 and he says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness." That should be there. Is it not there? Nope. All right, don't worry about it. But you see this idea where the correcting his opponents with gentleness. And so again, we have to remember that Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. He's saying to Timothy is to be the servant, that Timothy is to be these things. And if we were to summarize these four things here, I think the word that best summarizes them all is humble. Timothy is to be humble before the Lord and before others. To be kind is to be humble. To teach somebody, you've got to humble yourself. To endure evil with patience requires humility. To correct opponents with gentleness must come with humility, right? The reality is you cannot be a servant unless you are humble before the master. If you're not humble before the master, you're not submit to him. You will not listen to him. You will not serve him. You will not be kind. You will instead be quarrelsome, right? You will quarrel over everything that he says. If we are to be the Lord's servant, we are to be humble. Now again, Paul is writing to Timothy as a pastor. This passage directly, fully kind of relates to pastors and leaders in the church, me. Which is why Paul says the servant must be able to teach. For myself and any other person, any other pastor, this simply means I must be kind. I must be able to teach. I must patiently endure evil and correct opponents with gentleness. This is weighty stuff, right? This is the way I'm supposed to live. But what about for all of you? Does this pastor have anything to say to you, right? Church, the reality is every single one of us here are servants of Jesus, right? Every single one of us are the Lord's servants. We serve Him and Him alone. And this means that if we are to be these things, all four of these things that Paul has laid out, we are not to be quarrelsome. It's the third time, I believe, that Paul has brought this word up and used this word and talked about how we shouldn't be quarrelsome with other people. It's very obviously a common issue, a common problem for them, and it's a common problem even today, isn't it? People love to quarrel over things. They love to stir the pot, if you will. But as we learned last week, quarreling does absolutely no good and only ruins the hearers. Quarreling is what arrogant, prideful people do. To be humble is to say, I'm not going to quarrel over these words. I'm not going to quarrel over speculations. I'm not going to quarrel and make these ignorant controversies happen. But rather, I'm going to hold to the truth. They may quarrel over words. I'm going to hold to the truth. I'm going to stick to the truth. Secondly, we're to be kind to everyone. Everyone. Every single person, okay? And this is hard, isn't it? Right? We should all shake our head yes. It's hard to be kind to every single person there is. The world that we live in today is just filled with disrespectful people. It's filled with a bunch of selfish and arrogant people. People only looking out for themselves and nobody else. It's hard to be kind to those people, ain't it? It's hard. It's challenging. To put it into context of our passage here with false teachers and people spreading lies, it's really hard to be kind to liars and people that teach bad theology and bad things. We have a massive amount of people teaching and justifying from the Bible that homosexuality is okay, that changing your gender is fine and dandy, that sex outside of marriage is, well, that's fine, just go ahead and do that, that abortion is not wrong, right? That not regularly attending church is okay, that God is a God of love and not wrath. In church, these are all lies. These are all things that people are falsely teaching. And it's hard to want to be kind to those people, ain't it? That are taking God's word and just messing it up. Getting it wrong. Not teaching the truth. But you know what? God's word has called us, commanded us to be kind. To be kind. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, one of the fruits of the Spirit, as we read earlier, is what? Kindness. We have kindness in our hearts because of the fruit of the Spirit. And when you find yourself not wanting to be kind, lean into the Holy Spirit. And He will help you to be kind. The third thing that Paul lists here is able to teach. Again, this directly relates to pastors and leaders of the church, teachers of the church. But the reality is this, we are all teaching others, right? Parents teaching kids, grandparents teaching grandkids, whether you're teaching your nephews, your nieces, your cousins, whether you're having conversations with coworkers or your friends, whoever they be, we teach each other things in our conversations and our counsel of each other. And often these false teachings, these false doctrines, they come up in these everyday conversations that we have with people, right? You just have to listen closely to them. And when these false doctrines, false teachings are exposed in conversations, we have an opportunity to do something. We have an opportunity to turn around and teach the truth, right? We have an opportunity to teach people the truth, not to quarrel over words, but rather to speak truth into their lives. I love what Ephesians chapter 4, I can't remember the verse, but he says, speak the truth in love. Right? We have an opportunity to speak the truth and love to people that have things wrong. We should all be standing ready to give a defense of God's word and His truths. And this goes along with the very last thing in verse 25, correcting opponents with gentleness. When these conversations happen, we must correct with gentleness. Right? A harsh word is not good. A gentle word does a lot. Have you ever tried to correct? Have you ever had someone else try to correct you with harshness, with hastiness, with kind of arrogance, frustration, and anger? It didn't go over very well for yourself, did it? Or for them. You didn't listen. You didn't want to. They were harshly reprimanding you, if that makes sense. And you're like, I ain't going to listen to that guy. But maybe he comes to you in a gentle way, a loving way, a kind way. And he says, hey, I know that you're learning and you're understanding and you're trying to figure this out, but can I help you, you know, to understand something? And then they explain it to you. We're much more likely to what? Hear them, listen to them, and do what they say, right? So we have a responsibility to correct people with gentleness. One thing that I found for myself to kind of help do this, to help be in a kind and gentle way, is just simply by asking questions, right? Kind of the idea of being curious. You ever thought about that? You ever tried to be curious about something? Someone says, yeah, I believe in this. And then instead of going, oh, that's just wrong, buddy, you just kind of become curious. Well, why do you believe in that? When did you start believing in that? Why? What drew you to believing this? Right? See how you become curious, if that makes sense? Where do you see this at in God's Word? And then they begin to talk about it. And through your questions, you are able to help them see that what they believe is wrong. And you're able to correct them with gentleness and kindness through the idea of using questions. Right? Church, we live in a time where people are more biblically illiterate, theologically illiterate, than ever before. I think we can all agree with that, right? And this means that we are going to have a plethora of opportunities before us to help people know the truth. May we help them in a gentle and kind way. The last thing Paul says here, and I skipped over it briefly, but he says in verse 24, we are to patiently endure evil. Evil is all around us, right? People that hate the truth will do evil things. We've seen that on full display. People that don't like the truth will persecute and hate those that do. One other thing to just kind of remind ourselves is the gospel is controversial. Okay? You need to understand that. The gospel is controversial. And we are to patiently endure the evil. Just endure it with patience. Now, why is it that we as the Lord's servants are to live in these ways? Why is it that we are to not quarrel, to be kind, to be able to teach, to patiently endure evil, to correct with gentleness? Verse 25 gives us the answer. Because God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to acknowledge the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Church, we are messengers of truth. Ambassadors, Paul says. Ambassadors of truth. God is the one who changes the heart. We are just commanded to live in such a way that God may use our lives to grant people repentance that leads to the knowledge of truth. If we are quarrelsome, if we are not kind, if we don't know the truth and can't communicate it well by teaching it, if we can't patiently endure evil, if we can't correct with gentleness, all we're going to do is put harsh words in front of people and push them away from Jesus, right? It's going to push them away. As I already said, the gospel is already offensive. It's meant to be offensive. It's supposed to be offensive. But may everything else we do not be offensive, right? May everything else we do not be offensive. But may what we do lead them to the offensive thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they may hear and that God may grant them repentance, leading to the truth of the knowledge, believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. May we do well in living as humble servants before the Lord and before others in hopes that God will convict and change the hearts of sinners. Today in our sermon, has been focused on how we are to live as holy vessels and humble servants. In church, we will daily fail at this, right? We're going to daily fail to live holy. We're going to daily fail at serving the Lord humbly. It doesn't mean that we don't strive for it. It doesn't mean that we don't pursue it, because we most certainly should, right? But rather, our failures should point us to the holy and humble one, Jesus Christ. Church, Jesus Christ is the holy vessel. He was perfectly righteous, set apart as holy, was entirely useful to the Lord. He was ready for every good work, ready for the good work of bringing salvation to the lost and dying world. But not only was he the holy vessel, but he was also the Lord's servant. I'm reminded of all the times that Jesus stated that I'm not here to do my will, but I'm here to do the Father's will. I'm here to do his will. Jesus was here to serve the Father, and while he was here, he was controversial, right? We know that for a fact. We read that he was controversial, that what he did was controversial. But in his controversy, he didn't quarrel with people. The Pharisees tried to get him to multiple times. They tried to catch him in questions and tried to get him to stumble and say things. But Jesus never quarreled over the words. He only spoke the truth. He corrected with gentleness. He was kind, patiently enduring the evil of the world, teaching and correcting. Church, may we, because of Jesus, live like Jesus. May we live as holy vessels and humble servants before the Lord and before the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we're just so incredibly thankful for this passage of Scripture. God, I just pray this morning that you will help us all to live as holy vessels and humble servants, Lord. Holy vessels that are ready and useful for your service, Lord. Ready and useful for every good work that you have planned for us, Lord. And God, I just pray that we will follow through with those plans, that we will go forward with those things that you have called us to, Lord, that you brought us to. And God, I pray this morning that you will help us to be humble servants, Lord. Humble and kind and gentle and correcting and love to all sorts of people around us, Lord, to these false teachers and false doctrines that people have started to believe and they don't even realize even, Lord. But God, you've called us to this hard work, to this challenging work. Help us to be those things. God, we thank you again for Jesus and you sending him to die on a cross for our sins and our salvation. And God, I just pray for someone here this morning, Lord. God, I pray that you grant them repentance that leads to the knowledge of truth. That you will convict them of their sins and their lostness, Lord, and you will save their souls, and they'll believe in you and repent of their sins. God, if there's one here this morning that's never given their life to Jesus, I just pray that this morning they do that. God, we just thank you for Jesus. We pray all this in his holy and precious name. Amen.